I'm Naomi McDougall Jones, and I'm the writer, producer, and one of the actors in Imagine I'm Beautiful.
So that is quite a few hats there. Did you originally plan to do that, or is that just kind of how it works when you're making an independent film?
Well, I knew I wanted to write and act in it, and my co-producer and I, Caitlin Gold, sort of conceived it that we'd produce it because we were at the time we were both acting, and we were acting in a lot of independent films in New York that would never get finished, which is very frustrating, as because you know, even after it gets shot, I would say over half of them just never get edited or get edited but never come out. And so we sort of felt like we wanted to do a project that A, we really believed in, and B, that we could personally make sure got done and finished and out into the world.
I mean, it's obviously making a film is an expensive undertaking, and that probably has something to do with it. So it's my understanding that your project was sort of conceived locally or helped locally?
It was very much helped locally. It was conceived in New York, but I still have such strong ties here, having grown up here and working with Theater Masters so much, which I come back every January to do that here. And so in June of 2012, we held a huge fundraiser here at the Wheeler for this film and got amazing support from local businesses and other performing arts groups in the Valley, and they all came and performed, and it was really amazing. And a lot of the donations, we ran two crowdfunding campaigns for the film over 2 years, and a lot of the support and donations came from this Valley, which was very moving, and I'm very grateful for.
As for the film itself, the story, can you kind of give me an idea of what it's all about?
Sure. So it's about a girl with borderline personality disorder who moves to New York and invents a whole new fake life for herself, and then it all comes tumbling down because none of it's true. So it's sort of a twisty, dark psychological drama. Definitely not for children. So leave your kids at home.
Borderline personality disorder, I'd have to say, is up there with narcissism, is what we've heard lately in the, I guess, in the media of, you know, sort of psychological, I don't know, new finds or basically just people noticing more. Can you kind of explain what that is?
Yeah, borderline personality disorder is a tricky one because I think a lot of psychologists use it as sort of a catch-all. So I think a lot of people get diagnosed with it who don't necessarily have that. They just don't know really what else to categorize them as. But someone with true borderline personality disorder tends to sort of need an excessive amount of validation from other people and sort of becomes whatever other people need. They tend to get themselves into very codependent relationships with other people. They tend to be very, very promiscuous and sort of using sex and love for validation. It's a very difficult and tragic disorder to deal with because, for the most part, the people can be totally functional in society, and then sort of have these episodes. But it was particularly interesting to me in writing it because of that, because I think we see a lot on film a character who up front we know has a mental illness. And then sort of over the course of the film, we come to empathize with them or come to understand them. But I was very interested. But in those scenarios, you sort of can make a judgment about that person up front because you know they have a mental illness and whatever baggage you have around that sort of comes up. But I thought it would be very interesting to see if you could have a film where you meet a character and fall in love with them and sort of follow them on their journey, and eventually you come to understand that they have a mental illness, and sort of see how far they can take you down the rabbit hole before you realize what's going on.
In terms of playing a character who has that, was there a lot of research involved? Did you know someone who does deal with that?
I originally started writing the story because my cousin had an experience with somebody, got into a very codependent relationship with someone who has borderline personality disorder, and then over the course of writing it, there was actually somebody, another close friend, had a very similar experience with somebody with borderline personality disorder. So I had those sort of two firsthand experiences. And then, of course, I did a lot of research, just sort of textbook-wise, on what are the most common symptoms and manifestations of BPD. But that was mostly in the writing of it, making sure that was all true and in line with BPD and the character. But then once you're playing it, you're just playing her truth, which is, and one of the things about borderline personality disorder is that they tend to lie a lot, but it's not a pathological lying situation, because they actually believe everything that they're saying, even when it's totally conflicting with each other. So once I was playing her, she just, the logic of what she's doing is actually very intact, as long as you don't sort of take a step back and look at the rules of the world as we know it. But that was part of that character, is that I wanted there to be such a logic to what she does that hopefully the audience kind of follows along, and until they do take that step back and go, wait a second, what's going on here?
As for the process of putting it together, from, you said it was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that the fundraiser took place, and then actually creating the film, actually shooting and putting it together, how long has that process been for you?
So it was 2 years from the time I wrote the first draft to the time we shot it, and then another year, almost exactly, till we had our premiere. So it was basically 3 years from the time I wrote the first draft to the time we had the premiere, which I'm told in the film world is not a very long time at all. I know a lot of films take 10 to 15 years to get made, but it certainly felt like a substantial amount of my life. But yeah, so it's been about a 3-year process.
And as for the screenings that you have had so far, how's the reaction been?
We've just had the most amazing response, and because the film does deal with mental illness, and because we've been screening in a lot of different places around the country where we didn't necessarily know a lot of people personally, we've been doing a lot of outreach to mental health groups and communities to have them come to the screening, and certainly the most profound reactions to the film have been from people who either have BPD themselves or have someone in their family with BPD or another mental illness, or just people who have had these kind of experiences in their lives. The film seems to provide a really amazing sort of catharsis. After the New York premiere, a woman came up to me and she said, you know, this exact thing happened to me in college. And she said, for 10 years I've held such anger and resentment towards this girl for doing this to me as I felt it. And she said, watching your film, I understand why she did what she did, and that she wasn't doing it to hurt me, but that she was really, really sick. And she said, I want to go home and call that girl and, like, apologize for not getting her help and just cutting her out of my life. So, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of stories like that, and that certainly, I think the reason we all do art is to reach out beyond it just being art and actually into people's lives. So that's been very amazing.
To kind of do a slice of life drama, I mean, obviously you're a young person, and to have the character not only, I think, be someone who would be sort of making their way in the world, but also dealing with this on top of it, I think must have been an extra level to deal with for people to understand, to see as a film, and also for you to write and to play as a character.
It's been a very interesting journey trying to get this film made, because on the face of it, it's a psychological drama about two women, one of whom has a mental illness, which, you know, when you're talking to sort of big film producers or anything, they say, like, this is going to be the kiss of death. You know, no one's going to want to see this film. No one's going to want to distribute this film. No one's going to give you money to do this film. And, you know, it's also been an all-female team. I'm obviously a female, and I wrote it, and the other two producers are also female. The director's female. The two lead characters are female. And we got a lot of pushback about whether or not that was going to be a viable thing, which really made me more stubborn to get it done. But you know, so that whole thing has, I think, added an extra layer of just difficulty in getting the film made. But what's been very heartening to me is that the response has been overwhelming, and I do think people want to see this kind of film. It's just that the people at the top don't know that people don't want to see it, because their stats are 10 years old. You know, they're sort of, oh, because of how long it takes to get a studio film made, they're always operating on 10-year-old information. So I think people really are ready for this kind of intelligent film that will challenge them and make them think. I think people are kind of tired of Transformers, but I think we have to kind of bypass the system to get it to those people. And we're very, very grateful to have just gotten a distribution deal last week with a company that's very forward-thinking about distribution and sort of trying to their slogan's actually rethink film, and and how to take a movie like this and actually make it viable commercially.
What's interesting talking to you about it is I have images of people such as John Cassavetes who did these kinds of, you know, psychological dramas and, you know, husbands and wives and things like that, you know, and sort of how he had to operate during that time. And then even when you get into the 90s and sort of that, you know, late 80s, early 90s independent film thing that really caught on for a little while there, I think there's always been an interest there. And as you were saying, it just seems like some people just don't necessarily know what to do with these kind of films. As for yourself, when you talk about other filmmakers or other, you know, projects that you've seen, what have been inspiration to you in order to make something like this? Because as you said, it's not Transformers.
Yeah. The films that I like, I love it when a film surprises me and keeps surprising me throughout. You know, when you go in and you think it's going to be one thing, and then it just kind of keeps pulling the rug out from underneath you. I just love that. I think that's so exciting. And I'm just always excited to see something really new that no one's really tried before. So I wanted to make a film like that. And I like films that don't necessarily spoon-feed you everything and don't tell you what to think. And I think so many films coming out of Hollywood, you know, it's sort of like you're being led along by the chain the whole time on, like, okay, now you should feel this way about this character. And I think what I'm most proud of about this film probably is the wide range of reactions at the end of the film that people have to different characters. Some people really identify with one character and hate another character. Some people love that character and don't identify with the other character at all. Some people identify with both of them. I just think that's so much more interesting than a film where everyone feels the same way at the end.
Like any piece of art.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's supposed to make, yeah. And people seem to, the film seems to resonate very much personally with people, with experiences they've had. You know, the film's a lot about sort of upending expectations about people and kind of understanding why people do sometimes really terrible and things that from the outside seem really terrible and sort of bad, but that if you get inside of that, it totally makes sense to the people in the middle of it. So a lot of the response I've had after screenings are people saying, you know, like, this thing, I've had this thing that happened to me in my life, and I've felt so crazy for having let it happen, or feel so guilty, and sort of had all this stuff, and like watching this character and seeing how other people responded and understood why she was doing what she was doing made me feel so much. Made me feel sort of like less alone about that. So I think that makes me feel really proud about the film.
As for the local screening, when is it?
So it's Saturday, this Saturday, June 7th at 7:30 at the Wheeler Opera House. And I'll be there, and it's a co-presentation with Aspen Film. So we'll do a screening, and then I'll be there to do a Q&A, which Aspen Film will run, and then there'll be a reception with free food after.
As for the distribution, what do you know for folks who are beyond Aspen who may get a chance to see it sometime soon?
So the best thing to do is just go to our website, which is imagineimbeautiful.com, and sign up for our email list, because then you'll just be on our list. And we actually have, next week, we have a very exciting announcement about how anybody anywhere in the country can get it. So if you sign up on our website for the mailing list, then you'll get the email about that and stay notified of screenings and everything else. So if you want to see it, imagineimbeautiful.com and sign up for the newsletter.
Is there anything you want to add that maybe I forgot to ask you about?
Well, the Aspen screening is the first non-festival screening we've had of the film. We've played 5 festivals so far, and just last Friday we had our New York red carpet fancy premiere as part of the New York City International Film Festival, but it was very, very important to me that the first non-festival screening be in Aspen, because, you know, it's my home, and like I said, so much of the support for this film has come out of the Valley, so I wanted to bring it here first as soon as I could.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.